Good morning, church. It's great to be with you today. If you are new with us, I am not the senior pastor. I'm actually the youth pastor. Our senior pastor, Pastor Greg, is out this weekend celebrating his wife's birthday. And so I get the pleasure of sharing the pulpit with you guys today. I want to get something out of the way real quick because I know you're all wondering, you know, did I injure myself shredding down a mountain snowboarding this weekend? No, this boot is just simply I have an extra little bone in my foot, the doctor says, and it rubs up against the side of the foot and causes a bad tendonitis. So they told me to isolate it for a while, and so I'm almost done with it, but I won't be dancing on stage or doing any crazy stuff today, so I'm sorry you're going to miss out on that normal routine. We are, as Glenn said, we are celebrating and preparing our hearts. I love how you said that, you know, we decorate our houses and prepare with our decorations, and we are preparing our hearts for this, Christmas season. And last week, Pastor Greg preached on hope, and today we're going to be preaching on love. Well, I want to tell you real quick, this past week, I got the opportunity with my family to go to Disneyland, and I don't know, does anyone else love or enjoy Disneyland out there? I know, it's love or hate, I get it. I got to take my kids, and I remember as a kid myself, when I went, I loved Disneyland. I loved it. It was so great. You know, I loved the fireworks show at night. I loved the parade going through. I loved all the rides. I loved the different kinds of food that you got to enjoy. I loved the toys that we got to run home with, and then they broke right away, and they're super expensive. I loved it. It was so great. As an adult, I had a very different experience this time. Like I mentioned, I got this boot on, and so I actually rented one of those scooters to move around Disneyland because it hurt a lot to walk long distances. And so that was kind of a bummer. That was the first thing I didn't really love about Disneyland. I'm riding around in this scooter, my family's all zipping through, and I really kind of felt separated from them. And so it wasn't such an enjoyable experience. And I didn't love the rides so much because of the lines. I forgot about the lines. Man, the lines are horrible. You stand in these lines and they seem like they never move. I did love Star Wars. It was great. It was so awesome, except for the fact that my son, Hunter, freaked out on the Rise of the Resistance at first. He loved it, but he didn't like it. It was a love-hate. I didn't love spending so much money on food. Man, the food there is, some of it's good, but it's not great. It's not like our potluck that we're going to be having in a couple weeks, right? And it costs so much money. And to top it all off, the last day we were there, we went on the Small World ride. Most of the time we were spending time kind of split up. We took Hunter on a lot of the big kid rides because he's finally old enough. And Owen, our youngest, he's not tall enough yet. And so he went on all the smaller rides with, my wife and with my mom. And so finally I got to ride a ride with my son, Owen. And so we get in line for Small World, and it's moving kind of slow, and all right, whatever. It's not the longest ride in the world line, but it's kind of long. So finally we get up, and we get into the boat. I sit in the very front with Owen, and then my family's sitting behind us. So I pull out my phone. Let's take some pictures, and Owen's over there. He's doing his thing. He's making cute faces. We're smiling. We're laughing. We're loving the moment. I'm looking at him, and I'm just like, all right, one more. And we take pictures with everyone. Then we get more, you know, low down into the boat, and I'm smiling at him. I'm hugging him, and he's laughing. And all of a sudden, he goes, no more. And he hits my phone. Just hits it. And it flies in slow motion. It's just moving slower than the lines, flying out. And it hits the front of the boat, and it drops in the water. Very beginning of the ride. If you know Small World, it's a long ride. It's like forever. It never ends. So I'm sitting there going, I gotta wait till the very end of the ride to even possibly get my phone. So I'm not loving Disneyland at that moment. Man, I am not loving it. Every thought in my mind is going on about how much I despise Disney. I despise this trip. I'm almost ready to say, I'm not so happy with my son. I'm questioning my love for him in this moment. My phone just dropped in the water. It takes about 30 minutes. They pull the phone out, it works for half the day. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is the redeeming grace. Thank you, God. You're so awesome. You love me. And then end of the night, the thing just dies. Never turns on again. It's gone. Like, and the worst part is I get on my computer later and I start going, okay, well, at least I got all my photos, right? You know, because we had that funny experience of Owen knocking my phone out. Nope. My phone didn't back up photos for the past 4 months. I thought it was backing it up. It didn't. So I've lost all my photos from Hunter starting kindergarten all the way up until Owen's birthday, and then leading up to Disneyland, taking all these fun, expensive memories, and then the one that caused the whole issue, photos are gone. And man, can I just say, I'm just thankful, so thankful that God's love is not fickle like my love for Disneyland. Today, our message is about real love. Not a love that I can kind of toss around for Disneyland and toss around in my moment of my emotions, but a real, solid love. Let me pray real quick and we'll dive in. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you for your unfailing, absolute, sure love for us. I thank you that you showed us your love. You proved it. You actually like made it alive. You sent your son Jesus to die for us. I pray that as we dive into this message today, Holy Spirit, would you just speak directly to our hearts? Speak to our minds. God, if there is words on these papers that you want me to leave out, I pray that you'd help me to know that and leave it out. If there's things you want to have these people hear today, I pray that you would speak it. I thank you so much for your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, we're talking about love. Jesus gave us the command, love God and love others, right? The commandment has always been love God, but he continued it with love others. This Christmas season, there's a lot of love to be spread around the holidays, right? Or with our families. We get to have time together. We get to spend time laughing, singing songs, opening up presents, giving presents, remembering how grateful we are. And hopefully it's driven by love. Jesus gave us the command to love God and love others. But there's a challenge here with this whole thought of love. See, we can't love others if we don't really know what love is. Today we want to get into this real love, not this superficial love that people try to create. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go and open them up, or you can read it on the screen with me. It's a longer passage, verses 7 through 12, and then we'll jump to 16 through 19. It says this: Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. God is love. The first thing to get today is that God is love. It's who he is. It's not what he does. It's who he is. It's the essence of who God is. God is love. So how do we give real love today? We need to experience real love. And how do we experience real love? By experiencing God. Because God is love. See, you cannot know God without love, and you cannot truly experience love without God. Verse 8 said, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Today, my hope and my attempt today is to get us to identify what love really is. Because see, we're bombarded constantly with lies about love. We are constantly hit all day long with lies from the enemy. And we live in these lies all day long. We tell ourselves, I'm not good enough. I'm unlovable. I messed up so much today that no one could actually love me. Right? And people play into this. They treat us certain ways because of how we act. It's conditional. We think things like, well, my life is so hard. Or I just lost my job. My family member's sick. There's so much hurt in this world. God must not really love us. Look at the people on my Instagram. They're full of all these blessings, and I'm sitting over here with not a lot going on. I don't know. Does God really love me? See, our circumstances do not equal whether we are loved by God or not. Even in our darkest moments. For Chloe and Keith, it's a sad thing. My heart goes out to you guys during this season. And as a church, we are here to love you guys. But even in that darkest moment, even in that moment where the flames came up in their house, God still loves. God is still there. His love is still there. In your worst moment, in your time of crisis, in your time of hurt, God's love is still there. God's love is faithful because God is faithful. But see, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle with these lies. I constantly am having to battle over and over again with these lies that I believe about the love of God. See, I growing up, I've struggled with my confidence of who I am. In my appearance, in the way that I speak sometimes, in my education. I start to equate these things and I go, yeah, I'm just not lovable. I'm different. I'm not as well-spoken as this person. I'm not as thought through as this person. I don't look like this person. And so how can I really be loved? And see, I know it's foolish right now when I think about it and I say it out loud to all of you. It's like, does that really equate to love? Those are superficial things. But in the moment, that's the thing. The enemy takes just these little things and traps us with these lies. The things that are so foolish become so real in our lives. And we get sucked into this battle. There is a battle every day in our minds about love. Because the enemy wants you to be isolated from God, from his love. Because you can't love others if you don't really know God's love. See, to know the love of God in your life, we need to identify the lies and replace them with the truth. So we're going to look at a couple things real quick about what love is not and what love is. Love is not conditional. Love is not conditional. And I know that's a hard one to grasp at times because our world is completely conditional. You do this job, you get paid this much. You act this way, you get praised for that. You do that thing wrong, you get scolded for that. You don't do those chores around the house, you get in trouble. Love is not conditional. Real love is not conditional. Our manufactured love, it seems like that all the time, right? We throw the word love around when someone brings you a cup of coffee. Oh, I love you so much. See, we just jump right into that lie that goes around. But love is not conditional. Love is not manipulative. And love is not condemning. Love is not something you can earn. That's a real fact that we need to identify. We believe that we can earn it. If we do enough good things, we think we earn God's love. If we give enough clothing to City Team this Christmas, maybe God's love for us will be a little bit more and we'll get that Lamborghini. If we let a few more people cut in front of us on the entrance to the freeway, maybe God will bless us more. See, love's not something you can earn. And it's also not something you can fall in or out of. Love is not only a feeling or emotion. It is a feeling, but it's not only. It's the feeling or the emotion is actually the product of the love. Right? Because if love was just a feeling, man, how often do you wake up and not feel like you love someone in that moment? Or you don't feel like being kind to them. You could wake up any day and go, I don't feel like I love you anymore, so I guess I don't. But that's not true. So what is love? Love is forgiving. Love is freeing. Love is encouraging. Love is restful. Real love, when you are in real love, it's restful. It's peaceful. Love, because it's not just a feeling or emotion, love is a choice. We choose to love. God chose to love us. Love is both thought and action. Love is sacrificial. Real love, God's love, agape love, is unconditional. And thank God that it is. You can mess up a million times in a day, and God still loves you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, famous passage of scripture, the love passage, says this in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We could take this passage of scripture, and because God is love, you could replace love with the word God. God is patient with you. God is kind to you. God is not easily angered. Man, thank God. That is just, can you imagine if he was easily angered with us? I mean, how much do we do in our lives or not do that he has the right to get angered right away? God keeps no record of wrongs. And he never fails, just like we sang today. See, this is what love is. If you need that truth, go to this passage. Recognize that love, real love, this is who God is every day. So once we identify this lie, and I hope that you're starting to do that, take some time and throughout this message, at the end, we're going to do some work, but I want you to start to think, what are the lies I believe? Because I have mine. I shared them with you. I was vulnerable, and I hope that you can get vulnerable with yourself. We're believing these lies. Even if we are confident in God's love, there's moments that the lies creep in. So we need to do the work of believing the truth of God's love. See, we too often get sucked into the lies. We need to stop doing that and believe the truth. So I want to share some truths of God's love today. The first things first, though, the first and foremost thing that you need to get is that God loves you. That's it. God loves you. No, God loves you because you do this. God loves you if you do this. God loves you because you look this way. God loves you because you sing this way. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Because, so now that we get this, that God loves us, here's the truths. The truth of God's love is that it's dependable. God's love is dependable. Verse 16 of that passage we read, it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. See, we can count on God's love. It's dependable. It's reliable. We can sit in that love and stand firm. We can trust that it will hold us up. You walked in today and you sat in these chairs, and did you hesitate to sit in them? I brought a screwdriver and I loosened up a couple of the chairs. Just kidding. You didn't even question it. You just sat down. You believed it and trusted it. You were depending on it to hold you up. God's love is dependable, reliable, and unshakable. It's faithful, it's consistent, and it's never ending. We can stand in his love. We can trust it and know that it is there. Another truth of God's love is that you cannot do anything to earn or lose God's love. You can do nothing to earn it, but you also can do nothing to lose it. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39 says, "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth," I must have read that twice, that's weird, "nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The truth that we believe in is that He loves you not because of what you've done, but because of who He is. Because He is love, and there's nothing that can separate you from that love. See, we often get sucked into the lie that we can lose God's love depending on what we do or what we don't do. We believe that, you know, if I mess up too many times in a day, that maybe God might not love me that much. I got to watch out, and now I got to go and redeem myself by doing so many things. See, the truth is, our sin doesn't keep us from God's perfect love, but our sin can prevent us from being aware of God's love. I'll say it again, our sin doesn't keep us from God's perfect love, but our sin can prevent us from being aware of it. See, God's love is always present. Because God is always present. And He is love. So if He is present, His love is always present. It's impossible for Him to not have love. But we often get blinded because of our sin that we sit in, and in the flesh mindset, we get sucked into this blockage of awareness to His love. A couple weeks ago, I was praying for Hunter and Owen, my sons, and I was praying just that, I was asking God, I do this a lot, actually. I pray and I say, "God, would you speak to them today? Would you tell them how much you love them today? Would you speak to them and give them wisdom? Would you tell them how much you love and care for them?" And then He spoke up quickly to me. And He said, "I'm always speaking to them. I'm always telling them how much I love them. The prayer is, God, would you help them to be aware?" See, there's never a time you need to ask God to love you. He's always loving you. It's just who He is. The prayer needs to be, "God, teach me to be aware of your love." Right? It's like, just because you don't realize that there's cell signals going on everywhere, it doesn't mean that they don't work, right? Just because we don't realize that we don't see the Wi-Fi running through here, it's still working. Just because you don't see the air you're breathing, there's still air. Just because you don't see or hear God saying, "I love you" in the moment, He still loves you. And the more that you take time to ask Him, He'll tell you how much He loves you. The third truth of God's love that I want to share with you is that God delights in you. He rejoices in you, and He sings over you. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says this, I love this verse. "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." You know, they say a lot that when you become a parent, you experience God's love in a different way, right? Like, those of you that are parents, you understand this, that once you have a child, you get a better connection of God's love. And I remember when Hunter was born, it clicked. Man, I was delighted over this little baby. I was delighted over him. He could poop a million times everywhere, and it didn't matter. He could scream and cry, and it didn't matter. It was annoying, but I loved him through it. I delighted in him. I sang over that kid. Man, there were late nights where he wouldn't sleep, and I would just sing over him. I was rejoicing over him. I'd like to picture that. That's how God is with us. He delights. When we make messes, it's not that the mess is good, but He delights over you. He loves you. He rejoices over you. He sings over you. We need to understand that God's love, it's delightful. Now, once we believe this truth, once we've taken time to really accept this truth and believe the truth of God's love, then we need to live in the truth. We need to live like we're loved, because we are. See, we can't just believe something and not do anything about it, right? Because belief is proven with action. Again, you sat in these chairs today, you believed they were going to hold you up, and you sat in them and they worked. But if you said, I believe this chair is going to hold me up, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to sit down. Call you a liar. Come on. Sit down in the chair. If I made you some food and I told you it wasn't poisonous, and you're like, I believe you. I'm not going to eat it, though. No way. Nope. Are you hungry? Yeah, I'm super hungry. Then eat the food. No. Belief is proven with action. So we need to live in the truth and live like we're loved. So there's some things that we need to live with. We need to live with no fear. We need to live with no fear of judgment. We need to live confident. In verses 17 and 18 of that chapter, or of that passage of scripture we read, it says this: this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. See, we don't have to have fear of judgment, because we are loved by the Savior of the world. And if we have professed and believe in Jesus, there's no judgment. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he came, that he sent his only Son to the world to die for the world and not to condemn the world. We don't have to worry about that. See, when I'm in fear of judgment from God because I do something wrong, I'm not living in perfect love. I'm walking in this false love, this false thing. I'm afraid. I'm worried that now I've done something and now God's love is removed from me. That's a lie. I'm living in that lie and I'm not truly living in love. See, fear can only speak from lies. Fear will always speak the lies. But perfect love only speaks truth. Because God is love, Jesus is love, and Jesus is the truth. Perfect love drives out fear of judgment. It doesn't mean that what we do, the actions of what we do, the bad things, the wrong things, yeah, they're ugly. Yes, God does not like the bad things. He does not look at it and go, oh, that's great. When Hunter or Owen does something wrong, I don't like the bad thing. I don't like the bad behavior. I don't like the temper tantrum or the, you know, hitting the other brother in the face. But it doesn't mean I don't love them. I still love those kids like crazy. God's love is not conditional. So we need to live without fear. See, it's like a storm. The conditions are real, right? In a storm, there is crazy conditions going on. There's wind blowing, there's rain flooding. It's all real. But God's love gives peace in the middle of the storm, because it silences the fear. Because no matter what, you are firm in his love. You are secure. It doesn't mean that craziness isn't happening. It doesn't mean that you haven't done things that you got to work out in your life, but God's love is still there. We need to live in our love for others. Love others out of a response to God's love for us. Verse 11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, it doesn't say since we love others, God ought to love us. It is a response of God's love. Because God loves us, love others. It's the only way it works. If you try to love other people to get God's love, it's never going to work that way. God already gave it to you. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We need to love in a way that reveals God. See, Christ-like love for others reveals God, because God is love. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete. See, when we have real love for one another, the kind of love that we talked about, 1 Corinthians, love that's patient for one another, love that is kind for one another, love that is not easily angered, love that goes beyond what we think we have and gives away, sacrificial love, unconditional love. When we have that kind of love for others, it's like holding up a mirror that shows them the image of God. See, we're not going, look at how great Steve is. Look at how great you are. You're showing them, look at how awesome God's love is. Look at how real it is. Because in my own being, you're not getting that love. Right? Are you with me? If it was just left to who I am, not God's love in me, but who I am, you're not getting it. You're not getting the best. Why should you? Right? But God's love says, no, I love you, I love you, I love you. And so when we love others in that way, we're showing them, we're revealing God's love to them. And so because you are loved, live out love for others. Live out love for others in a real way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it's not on the slide, but it says this, therefore as God's chosen people, holy, and get this, dearly loved. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, love is what binds all of this stuff together. It brings out everything. Because if you love, all the actions are going to follow. If you don't love, then what are you going to do? And you cannot love if you don't receive the love of God. See, we are capable of real love. We are capable of it because we're made in God's image. And God is love. And so if we're made in His image and we have His Spirit living inside of us, we have His love living inside of us, ready to just burst out and share with people. See, this Christmas season, we're reminded of just how much God really loves us. And we can look at this reminder and we can choose one of two things. We can either choose to remember what Jesus did and go, great, I feel good. Or we can let that be something that spurs us on to share that love. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. This is the Christmas message, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. For God so loved. We really can grasp God's love. We are capable of that real love. The last point that I want to make today, that if we believe, if we've learned to identify the lies and the truth, we believe the truth, we live out the truth, the last thing we need to do is remain in His love. We need to remain in it. John chapter 15, this is what Jesus said. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. So we're called to remain in this love. It's not just something that you just do once and you're good. It's not something that just during the Christmas season and the Easter season you show love to people. It's every day. Every moment. And it's only possible if you remain in His love. You can only give if you have. And so if you remain in that love, it's going to flow out of you. But how do you do that? Well, He says to keep His commands. And what are His commands? To love God and love others. See, it's this cyclical thing. You have to know God's love to be able to love others. And then you remain in it by loving God and loving others. See, it's this concept of we need to rest in it. We need to just sit in it. We need to be so marinated in this concept of His love that it seeps out of us to others. So we've got some work to do today. I want to wrap up our time with this. God's love, if you haven't gotten anything else, know this, that you are loved by God. God loves you. He loves you so, so much. So much that that's why we celebrate this Christmas season, because it leads to the sacrifice on the cross. But I want us to get these concepts nailed down in, and I told you from the get-go that we were going to be doing some work. We were going to be doing some processing of our own. So our action steps today, for the rest of the week, they look like this. This is the steps that we talked through. But the first thing we need to do is we need to talk to Jesus. See, you don't go to find truth from anything but the truth. Right? It's like going to Wikipedia for answers. You know, you go to the source. Jesus is the source of love. God is love, so we go to Him. We need to confess the lies that we've been believing regarding love. We need to do some work about this issue of believing in the lies. What lies have you been sitting in with love? Maybe you feel like you just are the worst person in the world and there's no way that God can love you. God, you don't know what I've done. There's no way you could love someone like me. Or maybe it's you sit in it and you look and you think about all the things you don't have. All the things that haven't happened in your life and all the negative things that have happened. And that must mean that God doesn't love you. Those are lies. Your lies might look different. So we need to confess those lies today. And then let Jesus tell you the truth about His love. Because He's the only one that can tell you the truth. So you need to ask Him, Jesus, how do you love me? What do you say about the love you have for me? He loves you. So let's take a moment right now and just do that. In your own space. Confess the lies. And then let Jesus tell you the truth. Next thing we need to do, and maybe you're still working through this, and that's okay, but when Jesus tells you the truth of the love He has for you, when He tells you how much He loves you, if you even hear Him just say, I love you, the next thing we need to do is believe that truth. We need to believe the truth, and by believing it, we need to live in it. We need to live like we're loved by the Creator of the universe, because we take a moment and tell Him, God, I know you love me. God, I know you love me. I believe it. I trust it. And I choose to not have fear of judgment, to not have fear of circumstances in my life, because you love me. Thank you, Jesus. Third step that we need to do is we need to remain in this love. We need to daily proclaim and rest in the truth of His love for us. We need to love others as a result of the love that we have. So when we remain in His love, we need to love others, because you are loved by God. Just take some time and just let that sink in. You are loved by God. heads bowed and your eyes closed, I feel right now that I can't speak a message of love, of God's love, without extending an invitation to experience His love, to really accept His love. I don't know all of you in this room. I don't know anyone who's online on live stream, but if you're here today and you're sitting here and you're going, I just don't know that love. I've never experienced it. I want to give you an opportunity. See, it's like, I've explained it like this before with the youth. It's like a present that's all wrapped up and I hand it to you. That present's sitting in your hands. It already exists. The gift already exists. All you got to do is open it. See, God's love, it already exists for you. Just because you don't know it, just because you haven't believed in it, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. God demonstrated His love by sending Jesus to the cross for us. So today I want to give you that opportunity to accept that love. So if you're here today and you've never had an opportunity, or you've never taken an opportunity to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to say, Jesus, I accept your love, that you died on a cross for me, you rose again, and I believe in that love. If you want an opportunity to claim that out today, to experience God's real love, would you just put up a hand so I can pray for you? Yeah. For the rest of us, we still need this. We need to accept and experience His love daily. Let me pray for those that raise their hand and for all of us. Lord Jesus, I thank You. You are our Savior. If you raise your hand, go ahead and you can pray this prayer as well. I believe that You are my Savior, that You died for my sins. You died so I could have life, so I could really experience and accept and receive God's love, His perfect love for me. I choose You today. I choose to be in Your love. I pray, Lord, that You would just help us to identify those lies in our life, place them with the truth. God, You really love us. Oh, You love us. Help us to live in that love, to not live in fear, to live boldly, confidently in Your love, and love others freely. And help us to remain in it, to daily remain in Your love, to love You and love others. God, I pray that this love would transform our actions, that out of being loved, we would live out and be transformed. Thank You so much. I thank You for this season of love, this reminder of Your love, that as we celebrate leading up to Christmas, that we would remember the love that You really have for us, that You sent Jesus as a newborn baby into this crazy world to grow up, to sacrifice for us so that we could have life. That is love. Thank You for that. Pray that You'd continue to build us up in Your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to wrap up our time today with some prayer partners up front. So as you feel the leading to have prayer, or if you see anyone here, friends, let's pray for one another. We'll have elders up here. But go in love. Go in God's love. Know that you are loved, and love others. Because because you are loved by God.